and it must be acquired. It must be learned, because naturally, whether you're a believer, it doesn't automatically come, and whether you have lots of things or you purge yourself of all things, you will not find happiness and contentment. How do we learn it? Well, the Apostle Paul talks about how it's learned as he points us in the right direction. The God of peace will be with you. Our God was not content, not satisfied to leave this world lost. Here's the secret of being content. Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever is right, whatever is true. Is there anything more right and true than the word and promise of our God? Is there anything more right and true than the person of Jesus, who always spoke what is true, and the very word of our God? Was there anyone more pure than the Holy Son of God, who never once strayed into discontent, but always thanked God and was content whether he had little or much? What could be more noble than the sacrifice he gave of his own body and blood on the cross, shed for sinners?
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, November 28th, 2024, Philippians 4, 8-20.
Our nation's forefathers decided that they would decree in the Declaration of Independence that everybody's entitled to life, to liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Notice they were very idealistic. They had this dream of what a nation could look like, and yet they weren't dreamy-eyed dimwits. They knew that you didn't have a right to happiness, but rather the pursuit of happiness. Because they understood that when you even have everything at your disposal and you have the greatest riches, you can still be discontent and not happy with what you have. And so it's with the human condition, they understood, is this ongoing pursuit of attaining happiness and contentment. I think we know how that goes. That even if we have the greatest things, sometimes there's still something more that you're chasing after, something more you desire. Well, today we look at how it's possible to have contentment in every circumstance and in every situation, no matter how little or how much you have. As we look at how the Apostle Paul found that, and he found it in one of the most unlikely of places and in one of the most unusual of circumstances to find such joy and happiness. We'll see that as we look at once again at God's word in Philippians chapter 4. As Paul writes to these Philippian Christians, he's writing a letter to people that are surrounded by a world that is in pursuit of pleasure. In fact, Paul warns them and says that there are people who are enemies of God, and they are chasing after pleasure. He says their mind is on earthly things, and their God is their stomach. See, in their pursuit of happiness, they would chase after whatever it took to make themselves happy, whether it was food, sexual immorality, or riches. Whatever it took, they would chase after it to serve their God, which happened to be their own selfish, sinful desires, regardless of what their Creator had said and told them. They were seeking pleasure and worshiping their own selves. But Paul tells the Christians at Philippi how it's not to be that way for them. That pursuit of pleasure can never satisfy. In fact, it leads to destruction as an enemy of God. He tells them instead, this is what they are to do. They're to take their minds not merely on earthly things, but on something far greater and more noble. He says, as he closes his letter to them, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. He wants them to set their minds and to dwell on these types of things and not what is praiseworthy by the world's standard or excellent according to the things of this world, but no, what is admirable, true, and right according to God. Dwell on these, he says. Think about them. It's not easy in a world that wants you to dwell on so many other things. After all, is what you find on the social media feed, is it true? Is it even right? And as you watch the entertainment industry and what they feed you, is that praiseworthy? Is it truly, according to God, pure and excellent? Quite often we have to say, hardly. And God's people struggle to dwell on, to think on what is good and right and pure as the world lures us into those things. But you see, to think on and to dwell on what is not right and true and good and pure, to turn aside from those things is not merely to have a discontent life where you're constantly chasing after the next thing. No, it's to turn aside from the God who gave us what is good and pure and right in the beginning, who created this world to be excellent and holy, and to turn aside from his goodness to evil. So Paul says, think about these things. And not only does he say, think about them, he says here, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. See, it's not simply enough to think about what is good and godly, but also to live according to it. That whatever you do in your life, you're asking, is this right? Is this in line with what is accord with God's will and what God would praise as good in my life? And he says, the God of peace will be with you. You know, it's a tragic reality that dwelling on these things and having these things is not only difficult for us, but we can't find contentment. Not as we try to do it on our own. To be content, that is to be happy with what you have, is hard. Paul goes on to say that the Philippians, they found contentment. As we read, it says, they didn't care about the abundance of their possessions or what they had. They gave of what they had to Paul. And they found in Paul, in that man, in that message, something praiseworthy, something excellent, something worth supporting and dwelling on and spreading. And Paul too found contentment. He describes it here as he says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. What he says next might sound surprising. Not only has he learned the secret of contentment, he says, whether well-fed or hungry, or living in plenty or in want. Maybe you and I can relate to the struggle of being content when you're in want or hungry, when you're in need. But Paul says he's learned the secret of being content when being fed and having all things and having plenty. Do we really struggle to be content when we have everything? As I mentioned, yes. That's why Paul has to say here, I learned the secret of being content. Contentment to our human nature doesn't come automatically. In fact, it doesn't matter how much we have, it will not come automatically. And contentment also does not come simply because you are a believer in Christ. Paul, the apostle, says, I learned the secret of being content. Contentment comes from experiencing the lack of possessions and from experiencing abundance. And it must be acquired, it must be learned, because naturally, whether you're a believer, it doesn't automatically come, and whether you have lots of things or you purge yourself of all things, you will not find happiness and contentment. How do we learn it? Well, the Apostle Paul talks about how it's learned as he points us in the right direction. The God of peace will be with you. Our God was not content, not satisfied, to leave this world lost with its own God as its stomach. Our God was not content to see this world doomed to the curse of hell, to have no redemption, to have no reconciliation from him. And so the God of peace came. And though he had what was most noble and excellent, he came and took on flesh to this world. The God of peace, Jesus Christ, came to bring us what we could not acquire on our own. Here's the secret of being content. Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever is right, whatever is true. Is there anything more right and true than the word and promise of our God? Is there anything more right and true than the person of Jesus who always spoke what is true and the very word of our God? Whatever is pure, was there anyone more pure than the Holy Son of God who never once strayed into discontent but always thanked God and was content whether he had little or much? He did this for us. Whatever is noble, what could be more noble than God's Son coming down in human flesh on the behalf of sinners, taking their place? What could be more noble than our King setting aside his glory and all of his riches so that we might be rich? What could be more noble than the sacrifice he gave of his own body and blood on the cross, shed for sinners? Is anything more excellent or praiseworthy than our living King Jesus who rose from death? Is anything more wonderful than what he has done? The secret to being content is not found in this world. It's setting your mind on what God considers true, right, excellent, and praiseworthy. And that starts with setting your mind on his Son and putting into practice and following what we have from him. Paul says to the Philippians that my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Those needs start with forgiveness. They start with the God of peace removing our sin. Those needs start with our God bringing us total forgiveness and free, so that whether we are in want or in riches, we have all we need. The God of peace himself is with us. And the God of peace himself promises to never forsake us. I don't know how much you've spent in your life pursuing happiness. But with this, we have an everlasting contentment. The pursuit can stop when you look to Christ. And you can say that in him, my God has met my needs and will forever meet my needs. He's given me peace. And like the Philippians who supported Paul in their plenty and who supported Paul as they shared in his sufferings, we can find joy in this excellent and praiseworthy message, content with all he's given and thankful for all he's done. Amen.